Amen. It is said that Jesus said more about money than heaven and hell combined. Now, if that is true, and I believe it is, if you look at, you know, the importance of heaven and hell, and find out that Jesus said more about money than both of those things, it tells an awful lot about the issue of money. And think about it for a moment. We often hear people say, I don't go to church because the church talks too much about money. I wonder what they would have said if they listened to Jesus preaching. Of course, now, I'm kind of in that crowd somewhat because I think some churches do talk too much about money, not about the issue of money, but about the issue of bringing money into us. And not for the purpose of getting the gospel out, but for the purpose of making people rich. Jesus spoke about money more than anything else because money goes to the heart of the issue. If we look at how people are spending their finances, no matter how much you have or how little you have, it really tells about our heart. You know, we can find out where your heart is. All we have to do is look at your checkbook. We can find what kind of heart you have. So many people are under the wrong impression that money is the root of all evil, but it is not. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Now, already in the book of James, James has talked about money twice. This is now his third time to talk about money. And in this passage, he's talking about how people abused money. So I want to look at two things tonight, if my voice holds out. And the first is this. Realize that judgment can come from the abuse of money. So if we take your spending habits, and if you are abusing money, you need to realize that God's judgment can fall on your life for that reason alone. Think about that. If we take your checkbook and we find, now, not how much you give to a church or don't give to a church, but if we find you are abusing what you have, even if you have a little bit of money. In this case, James is talking to the rich. If we find you are abusing your money, you need to realize God's judgment can fall on your life for that reason alone. Let's look at verse 1. Now listen. You rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. That phrase, now listen, go back to verse 13 of chapter 4. We see it there also. Now listen. It's an attention grabber. If you've ever been in a conversation, maybe, you know, the conversations get a little heated. We were talking about conflict this morning. And you're just kind of blurting things out, and someone says to you, will you just shut up for a minute? What are they doing? They're trying to get your attention, trying to get you to stop talking. What James is doing here, he's saying, now listen. Stop for a moment. I want you to really listen to what I'm about to say. Now, back in verse 13, he was talking about how we plan. Looked at that 2 weeks ago. In this passage, he's talking about how we spend money. And he's talking to people who are rich. Most people would not claim to be rich. Most people would claim to be poor. Very people who are truly rich would claim to actually be rich. And especially in the area we live in here, I find that most people almost kind of take pride in being poor, but if you knew how much money they actually had, you would find out that they're pretty rich. I remember when I was in financial services, I talked to one lady who was in her 80s or 90s, if I remember right. And she had $80,000 just sitting in the local savings account. doing nothing with it. It's just kind of sitting there. Sometimes we think, you know, everybody who's on Social Security is poor. And sometimes those who are on Social Security, you know, we use them as an example of people living in poverty. Now, for some people, that's true, but for a lot of people, it really isn't true. So some people come to this passage, and as soon as it says, now you're rich people, you kind of want to skip over and say, okay, that doesn't relate to me. I think most people who are living in America today would be considered rich in Bible times, except maybe many college students. I remember when I was in college, I mean, I used to say I have a roof over my head and I have the cafeteria. Well, at least I have a roof over my head. But you know, when you're in college, most people in college just don't have much money. But most people are richer than they think. You who are rich, he's saying to those people who are rich that, notice they need to, at the end of verse 1, weep and wail. Why? Because judgment's coming on you. Refers to audible crying, weep to sobbing out loud, wailing to screaming. Weep and wail. Why? Because judgment is going to come on you. Notice the misery that's coming on you. The word misery means overwhelming hardship, trouble, distress. He's talking about a future event, but he speaks of it as a present reality. Cry, weep, wail, scream out loud. Why? Because there's a misery that's coming your way. What is the misery? What is the weeping and wailing? It is the judgment of God because they had misused money. So I want you to notice, secondly, tonight, pay attention to the reasons for the judgment. He says, weep and wail because there's a judgment coming, but there's a reason for that judgment to come. And in beginning in verse 2 through verse 6, he gives four reasons why judgment is headed their way. And basically, I can say it this way, they had abused money. They had mishandled the money that God had given them, and therefore God's judgment was going to fall upon them. Whatever God has given you, you need to realize that you are a steward of what you have. If you have a pair of shoes, now guys, we know if we have a pair of shoes, we're happy. Ladies, you need 100 pair of shoes before you have all the shoes that you, quote, need. Whatever you have, realize that you are a steward. I go in every so often. We have a ladies' Sunday school class, and I joke around with the ladies. And when I went in there this morning, and the ladies said, oh, we see you got a new car. It's a new car. I didn't buy a new car. Yeah, you got a new car out there. So I don't have a new car. They said, yeah, you gave Gene your old car, and you bought a new car. I said, no, I said, Gene bought a car that's the same color as my car, and all I did was wash my car. I washed my car, unfortunately. It had been a while, so it made it look new. But I washed my car because I realized that I am a steward. And anything that I have, this shirt, these shoes, anything I have has been given to me by God, and I have a responsibility before God to take what I have and take care of it. So no matter how much you have or how much you say you don't have, whatever you have, you are a steward of what God has given you. So if we take the money we have and we don't use it right, then we are a steward, a bad steward of what we have. When I was in financial services, they used to tell us to take your billfold. Incidentally, guys, if you have a wallet, get rid of it. You should never use a wallet and stick it, you know, in your back pocket. When you do that, you're ruining your back. So I have a billfold I put in my front pocket. In my billfold, maybe I shouldn't do this or you're going to think I'm too rich. I have a 20, a 20, a 20, a 10. Well, I am rich. A 5, and a bunch of ones. Wow. I'm not giving any away tonight, just so you know. When I was in financial services, they used to tell us to put $100 bills on the outside so that when you took clients out, it would make it look like you were rich and you could play the part of, you know, being this rich guy telling everybody how to use their money. I never did that. I usually didn't have $100 bills to be able to do that. Whatever's in your wallet, you are a steward. And if you take what God has given you and you mishandle it, realize you can bear the judgment of God. So what can we do with our money that might cause God to judge us, to bring his judgment upon us because we have abused money? Four things. Number one, you can hoard it. You can hoard it. Notice verse 2. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Yeah, I went in my closet one time, and I looked at my clothes, and in my clothes there was a spider web. And they had made a spider web in my clothes, and in my top suit pocket, there was a spider in my pocket. Now, if you know how much I can't stand spiders, you can imagine the fun I had going into my closet. A couple weeks ago, it was in the summer, I went into McDonald's. This is a different event. And I get up to order at McDonald's lunch, and the lady looked at me, and she kind of stepped away, and she said, "You got a spider on you." I don't know what it is about spiders in my clothes. But here, notice it's moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. One of the ways we can misuse the finances, the money we have, is by hoarding it. The word hoard means to stockpile, to treasure up, to store up, to gather. He's not talking about saving for retirement. He's not talking about saving for a rainy day. He's talking about stockpiling what you have and just letting sit there for yourself, having much more than what you need and just hoarding it. Notice we see the results of hoarding. He says your wealth has rotted. The word rotted means to destroy or to corrupt. Your clothes have been eaten by moths. In that day, clothes were a chief sign of wealth in the ancient world. They would often use clothes as payment for debts. They would often have clothes as heirlooms. When my daughter was getting married, I said to her, "Why don't you wear your mother's wedding dress?" That didn't go over well. Not because, you know, she wanted something fancy or something like that, just because styles change. I thought she looked beautiful in it when she had it, but styles change. So, you know, you think sometimes you have clothes and you're going to have them, you know, as an heirloom to give to someone else, but if they do, all they really do is stick it in a bag and it turns yellow. So James says, look, your clothes, they've been eaten by moths. Your gold and silver have corroded, they've tarnished. And that was a testimony against them. Their lack of use from hoarding it has caused it to lose value. Their greed will result in their own destruction. Their gold can darken and silver can tarnish. They are all signs of storing stuff up for themselves, and the result was they began to decay. This is not a story of rags to riches, but of riches to rags. The Bible clearly teaches we ought to plan for a rainy day. We ought to put together a budget. We ought to think about retirement. We ought to think about days to come. My son-in-law called today. They're down at, well, living in Virginia now. And the storm that hit was supposed to hit where they were, and they were supposed to get 2 to 3 feet of snow. Well, how long is it ago? About a month ago, half a month ago, they got their last big snowfall. Was it last weekend? It was only, wow, last weekend. Time flies. He was out there. What was he using out there? I asked you before. A broom. Was it a foot of snow? Foot of snow? I can't remember any of the details. Memory goes when you get old. I want to stand you here, and you can kind of just whisper in my ear. I'll put an earpiece in. He was out there with a broom. Because of the snow, this time it passed them by, so they went looking for shovels. They couldn't find a shovel anywhere. He called today anyway and said, I put gas in my car, and the gas just started pouring all over the place instead of going in the gas tank. He said, have you ever heard of this before? And it just reminded me of when we were first married, and it seemed like every time you turn around, there was a problem with our car, and it was just eating up all our money. My daughter has been having all kinds of health problems, so the co-pays have just been eating up all their money. And, you know, when you're kind of at that stage in life, every time you turn around, it seems like something's eating up your money. And then when you get older and your kids are grown, then your money's still being eaten up because you're giving them money besides what eats up your own money. These people had hoarded it. The Bible teaches we ought to plan. We ought to do things so that we plan wisely with our finances. But we can also hoard our money so that all that God has given us, we kind of just set it away for ourselves. We hoard it. Let me give you three truths about, well, let me get to the next, verse 4. There was a second thing they did with their money that was abusing money. You can unjustly hold it back from workers. Verse 4. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. They were owners of businesses, farmers, and they had sent out people to take care of their business, and instead of paying them like they should, they held back the wages. Three truths about working. Number one, we ought to work for our food. We ought to work for our food. 2 Thessalonians 3 talks about that. Many, many other passages. Number two, if a person does the work, they ought to be fairly paid. It's a very simple truth. If a person does something for you, you ought to fairly pay them. Sometimes I'll have workers come to my house and do things that I can't do. A while back, it was an electrician here at the church. You know, I had asked what you would normally get paid for things, and, you know, we looked at things. And I said, look, as Christians, we believe that a worker is worthy of his hire. Doesn't mean you have to pay more than you should, but it does mean that if someone does something for you, you ought to fairly pay them. I think it is so sad when Christians think they ought to get everything for free. And when Christians go to other Christians for a job or to get paid, they think that if you're a Christian and it is a Christian who's getting the result of your labor, they think they should get it for free. It's wrong. Someone does something for us, we ought to fairly pay them. Number three, when the workers are not paid, their cries reach out to the ears of God. When workers don't get paid, their cries reach out to God. You know, sometimes employees cry out to the owner of the business, or they cry out, you know, to their manager or, you know, their boss and say, you know, I'm not getting paid enough. I ought to be paid more. And nothing happens. We sometimes think there's no one around to hear our cry. But I want you to know God hears your cry. God knows what's happening when you're going out and you're doing your job. It doesn't mean that God's all of a sudden going to drop $1 million in your lap, but God hears and God knows. And I think of what David said. He said, I was young and now I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. You can unjustly hold it back from workers. Number three, third way we can abuse money. You can waste it. You can waste it. Notice verse 5. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. Let's look at those two words. The word luxury means to give oneself up to pleasure. So you've taken the money you have and you've used that money for your own pleasure. You've kind of given yourself over to pleasure, that when you've gotten your money, all you've thought about is, how can I make myself happy? To live a life of luxury, usually associated with intemperate feasting and drinking. To revel, to carouse, to live luxury. Self-indulgence. To indulge oneself excessively in satisfying one's own appetites and desires. So what James is saying here, what God is saying through James, is that you've taken the money that you have and you've lived beyond your means for the sole purpose to fatten yourself. We might say today that you bought into the world's lie that he who dies with the most toys wins. And I want you to know it's a lie. And I hear Christians all the time saying, you know what, I work hard and I work a lot of hours. I deserve this. I hear Christians say, you know, I work so hard, I got to have some toys. Fine. But here's the reality. If you live beyond your means, if you live beyond what you are able to afford, all you're going to do is get yourself in trouble. I don't know if you've seen what they're doing lately in credit cards. Credit card companies are just boom, on the stroke of a pen, they are changing interest rates. Give me an example. Connie and I have Capital One. We're getting rid of it. That's our credit card. Our interest rate is 8.9% fixed. Very good interest rate because we have great credit. We make sure we always pay our bills. We have really good credit. Well, they just sent us a notice a while back that we missed that they are raising the credit or the interest rate to 17.99, effective immediately, variable. I called them up on the phone. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, we have good credit, don't we? Yes. We've always paid our bill on time, haven't we? Yes. Then why are you doing this? Well, sir, we're just doing that for everyone. We've just decided that we need to rate interest in the time and day we're living. Well, you know the time and day we're living, interest rates are like at zero. Look at your savings account. They're not giving you anything. But the banks are raising it like crazy. Now, for us, it's not that great a problem because all we have to do is go out and get another credit card. But if you have bad interest, you can get yourself stuck because no one else is going to take you. In fact, one of the things they're doing is that you can be paying your credit card on time all the time. You get late one time, and they could go from 17% to 30% on the stroke of a pen. James said, look, you're living in luxury, you're living in self-indulgence. And some people think that they can live beyond their means, go crazy with credit cards, go crazy, you know, anytime a store gives a card, you know, just start using it. Sooner or later, you can't steal from Peter to pay Paul, and all those bills are going to be due. And I want you to know, as Christians, we have a responsibility to pay our bills. And we don't pay our bills, we are a bad testimony for Jesus Christ. And it's so easy, if you don't pay your bill once or twice, 1 month or 2 months, you could get behind so quick and dig yourself a really big hole. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:6, but the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. I think of the story of the prodigal son. You know, this is true of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, all he did was go out, take his inheritance, and spend like crazy until there was nothing left. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, Ecclesiastes 2, you can look at it when you have time. Ecclesiastes 2, 1 to 11, he talked about it. He said he took what he had and he just went out and lived in pleasure. Notice what James says here, by doing that kind of living, all you did was fatten yourself up for the day of slaughter. Let me say this tonight. If you want to be a testimony for Jesus Christ, be very careful what you do with your money. Be very careful how you have your finances. One of the three biggest reasons why pastors end up out of the ministry is because they messed up in their finances. If you don't pay your bills, if you don't handle your money right, you become a poor testimony for Jesus Christ. The principle is simple. Live within your means. If you can afford to buy a yacht, buy a yacht. If you can afford to do it, nothing wrong with that. But use that yacht to honor Christ. If you can afford a rowboat, then buy the rowboat, not the yacht. You know, last fall, this church gave me a rowboat, a John boat, they're called. I can't tell you, and I've probably said it before, but I'll say it many more times, I can't tell you what that has meant to me. The ability to take my son and spend a day with my son out on a lake fishing has been just phenomenal. And other people I've had the opportunity to do that with, it's just been fantastic. You got me that boat partially because the boat I had was basically sinking. It had all kinds of holes, and you couldn't, you know, plug it up anymore. But the boat I had was a boat that my uncle gave me. Boat that I used to fish with him some 30 years ago. And we'd go out. I would preach on Sunday. Preach Sunday night like now. I'd go home, drop Connie off at home, and then my uncle and I, we'd go fish all night until Monday morning to when I would take her to work. And then I'd go home, take a nap, and then work. That meant so much to me that my uncle gave me that boat. And I could have fished in that boat the rest of my life, even though it had its holes, and I would have enjoyed that. We need to get greed out of our eyes. And I enjoyed that boat, and I enjoy the boat you gave me. But we need to get greed out of our eyes. Simple thing. Live within your means. If all you can afford is a $5 shirt, don't buy a $50 shirt. You know, if all you can afford is a car that gets you from point A to point B, then buy a car that gets you from point A to point B. There's nothing wrong with buying a Cadillac if you can afford that. The key is you have to live within your means, and the key is we need to realize what God has given us, we're just stewards. We need to take care of what we have. We need to wisely use what we have. And then we need to take what we have and look for ways in which we can give it away. Give it to others who need it. Reach out to people with what God has given us, whether it's money or clothes or things, and find ways in which we can reach out with the love of Jesus Christ for those who may have less than we have. I think of the people of Haiti and all they're going through. I think of the people in New Orleans as we think about the Super Bowl and all they're going through or all they've gone through. And I think of the people of this church. And that is why I went to the leadership team and said, hey, look, we're having our Valentine's dinner like we always do, but, you know, there's people in our church who are struggling financially. Let's just have the church pay for the Valentine's dinner and let's cater it anyway. Because anything God has given us has been meant to reach out to lives, to reach out to people, and use it for God's glory. These people, they took what they had, and not only did they hoard it, but then they wasted it. Don't waste what God has given you. Don't ever let this world's thinking get into your head that says, if you have more in your hand, you will be happier. You will not. Proverbs says that the rich man has the ability to pay the price of the ransom, but the poor man doesn't hear the threat. So whether you're rich or poor, there are different parameters, there are different things that happen in your life. But riches will never and never have and never will buy happiness. Let me give you the fourth way in which you can misuse your money. It's found in verse 6. You can use it to pervert justice. You can use it to pervert justice. Verse 6. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. They had taken their money and they perverted justice so that they condemned men who weren't even bothering them. Rich people never pervert justice, right? You've never heard of that. Rich people never go to the courts and use their money for their own benefit. That doesn't happen in Luzerne and Lackawanna County, does it? They use their wealth to get what they wanted and keep what they had. With their wealth, they perverted the courts. They used their wealth to condemn and murder the innocent. They used their money to bribe judges and control the courts. Wealth, money is a blessing from God. We are stewards of what God has given us. And we can abuse it when we hoard it, when we hold it back from those to whom it is due, workers, when we waste it in self-indulgent living, and when we use it to hurt others by corrupting the courts. So let me ask you, what are you doing with the money you have? What are you doing with the things that God has given you? Again, you might say, I'm not wealthy. Well, you know what? Maybe tonight, you can honestly, and maybe it's honestly true that you're not wealthy, but I would guess we can always find someone who has less than you have or has a need when you don't have that same need. What are you doing with that which God has made you a steward? Andrew Carnegie, someone who had a lot of money, one said, millionaires never smile. And it reminds me of a poem. Listen to it. Dug from the mountainside or washed in the glen, servant am I or master of men. Earn me, I bless you. Seal me, I curse you. Grasp me and hold me, a friend shall possess you. Lie for me, die for me, covet me, take me. Angel or devil, I'm just what you make me. Don't abuse what God has given you. If you do, God's judgment may fall. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for how you have blessed us. And Father, I know there are those here tonight that have great financial needs, and I pray, Lord, that you might give them wisdom to know how to spend what they have, wisdom to know how to get out of the financial hole, and wisdom to know what to do when you've answered the prayer. Help us, Father, wherever we're at financially, with whatever we have. Give us wisdom. And I pray, Lord, we might not abuse what you've given us. But help us, Lord, to bring you glory with what we have. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.